What makes someone laugh, the audience laugh, it's still, I think, very much like a black box for both the newbies and the people with expertise. That's the sad thing, sad and the good thing about comedy. It's such a leveler, you know, it's like no matter how experienced you are, the new joke, you cannot predict whether it's going to work or not.
Welcome to Setup Punchline. My name is Bernhard Hiergeist, and this is a podcast about stand-up comedy. Here we listen to live recordings of comedians, and then the comedians try to explain the magic behind the laughter. Today's guest is Gagan Gopal. Gagan is based in Munich and he performs stand-up in English and German. Actually, he can speak German quite well, but since the bit we listen to in a minute is in English, we also had the talk in English so that everything in the episode is consistent. Gagan is a friend of silly jokes, but that doesn't mean he wouldn't weigh his words very carefully, because even the stupidest joke is nothing without the right preparation from attitude to word economy. Gagan is also a host of some stand-up shows in Munich, for instance, Medium Rare, a weekly open mic in English he hosts together with Mustafa Kaya, or the Comedy Factory Munich, which he hosts and organizes together with Mel Kelly. Both shows are understandably paused at the moment. From the Comedy Factory, we now have a recording of Gagan's from autumn 2020. Have fun with Gagan Gopal.
Anyway, do you know this? I've been, the last 2 months, you know, I've been doing yoga and meditation to find myself. You know this, because of this pandemic and stuff, I was trying doing yoga and meditation. Do you know this feeling when you want to find yourself, you do yoga and meditation, and then you find out that you're a piece of shit? Has this happened to you? It's a great revelation, you know, and you're doing OM, it's more like, oh, I'm such a piece of shit, I shouldn't really find myself. I mean, that's why you should hide yourself, really. That's it. I don't know why people want to find themselves. I mean, I think it'd be really sad if people do find themselves. The thing is, when I found out, the entire time I really love myself. Throughout my life, I love myself because I haven't found myself, right? Same. And I love myself so much that I have a friend of mine. He always says, "Hey, Gagan, I hate myself. I hate myself." I never understood this self-hate, you know, because I love my body. I love him too, and it's beautiful. And he always says, "Gagan, I hate myself." I never understood this. So I was like, but then I hung out with him for a couple of days. Now I understand. Now we both hate him. It's a great guy. A lot of hobbies, man. I've been running, I've been taking showers and stuff. But my favorite hobby is giving up. Have you tried that? When you start something and give up the next moment, it's the best thing. I mean, not many people know about this hobby. I don't know, vegans, you've given up meat, no? Yeah, it's like a lot of motivation. I love giving up, man. I every time someone starts something, it's like, hey, maybe I should give up the next day. It's beautiful. Best feeling. I don't know. Even if people keep complaining, I think it's the best solution for all your problems, you know? It's like people keep complaining, "Oh, Gagan, I hate my girlfriend. Gagan, I hate my job." Give up! What are you doing? It's so easy to give up everything. And you can start giving up anytime without starting. You can be like, "I give up right now."
Ciao.
"I gave up rowing. I've never done it. I gave up." It's so easy. I love giving up, man. I don't know. It's something. Even Nike, you know, in society keeps telling you to do things. Yeah, the entire time they're like, "Yeah, do stuff." Even Nike keeps saying, just do it. But they never say what. What am I supposed to do, Nike? Cocaine?
You got the meditation right.
Huh?
You got meditation right.
Yeah, you've done meditation.
You
no?
got everything up.
Yes. But the thing is, I can see hope in your eyes. It shouldn't be there. If you do yoga and meditation for a long time, you will lose hope. And then you come here. In front of people. Sorry, what? It always comes back, but yes, I don't know, man. You're saying this, it's a round thing, no yin yang karma. I don't care, man. Maybe it's like one of those. Anyways, yeah, it's. I tried being vegan for a couple of days. It's.
And you gave up.
I gave up. Man, you
were earlier than me.
Hi, my name is Gagan Gopal. I am a comedian based in Munich. I'm also an engineer in the morning, and I write jokes in the evening and I tell them on stage. I like jokes. I'm obsessed with jokes. I also run a couple of English shows here. Medium Rare is like the first English weekly show. And yeah, that's it. I love life. I'm a husband. I'm a son. I'm a brother. And a few things I'm pretty bad at. That's me. Yeah, I like foosball. Today I realize I'm really bad at foosball. You know, like few things. I'm so bad. I have so many roles, but I'm not good at most of them. So I just take up a lot of things. But yeah, most of my jokes, I find them so silly. You know, they don't have any depth to it. There's no message. And I like such jokes, which are just, you know, they're just jokes because we're all laughing at it. When someone finds some meaning to it, wow, that's great. But as long as we all find it funny, I'm just more obsessed with that. I'm originally from this small town called Hasan, which is 200 kilometers from Bangalore. I was born in Hasan, and then we moved to Bangalore after, like, I think when I was 8 or something. And since then, I've been living in Bangalore throughout my life. I mean, and then I moved to Germany. I did my very first open mic, I think, long time ago. And I wouldn't even call it a start because I just did it because in Bangalore, I think probably 2015, just before coming to Germany, I just did it because my friends were going it and I did it just 4 minutes. Yeah, it was pretty okay. People laughed. And then I realized I was obsessed with comedy throughout my life. I came here and there was this Friday Night Live. There was this show. It was an open stage, not an open mic. That means you have musicians, you have comedians, you have more musicians and people like puppeteers, everything. So it's a weird stage. I went there alone and I went to the host there, Matt, and I said, hey, can I do some comedy? Can I tell some jokes? And I was like, sure. How many minutes do you have? I don't know. 7. I had nothing. I just went there and I did 3 minutes, bombed. Every week I went there after that for like 4 weeks and I got my first laugh there. So, and then I was like, okay, I was obsessed. I was interested in the idea. I was really scared of being of comedy itself. I was also doing, in 2018, I was doing a bit of improv, you know. So I was got few laughs there. I knew, I kind of realized, okay, I'm quite funny on stage. People can laugh. And once I saw this comedian, the way he was killing on stage, I was like, maybe I should give it a try. But I was so scared. But I just did it. I got my first laugh with my first joke. And after that, nothing. I didn't get anything. So I was pretty happy that I went through the hurdle. But at the same time, I was pretty sad that I was just going there and bombing. Because every week, every Friday, I used to go there, bomb alone. And you know, I didn't tell anyone. So it was like a weird thing I used to do. So I just used to go there, bomb for like 5 minutes and come back and feel bad about myself. And I didn't tell anyone. My roommate, my girlfriend then, I mean, my current wife. Anyways, it was just one of those things I was obsessed with. And then there were more open mics here. Jaun Weiter was also one of the few shows. I did my first German set. I did this and then I kind of knew that I can play with both English and German. The first joke, oh boy, it was, I don't know, I have to remember quite a bit. No, I think it was like a very simple joke about how someone came to me just because I'm an Indian that I should know how to cook chicken curry. I think that was a joke. I find it so bizarre that this colleague of mine came to me and he expected me to know how to cook chicken curry because I'm from this country, which is obsessed with this dish and which makes it. And my joke was, or the twist was, that I was pretty good at it. That was the only thing I was good at. And how did he know that? So that was the joke. And I was like, that he was racist, but at the same time, he was right. You know, it was like he hit the nail on that part. So when I was younger, there were a few shows in India where the Indian comics, I mean, the TV shows where Indian comics used to get on stage and they used to make people laugh. And sometimes they were like poems, you know, they were like poets. This was so bizarre then. And I used to enjoy those nights. It was called the Great Indian Laughter Challenge, where there are three judges and one comedian or a poet or something. He'll get on stage and he'll try to make people laugh. And this was all like very to the face comedy. You know, they were not wearing costume or something, but it was, I didn't know it was stand up then. But then later I realized I got into more, I was in my teenage or something, I kind of realized about this American stand-up and I was obsessed. I went through all the greats, every special, everything. After that, I was not so obsessed with the Indian comics because I felt it was too easy a joke. But now I think this mixture of American comedy and then Indian comedy, few Indian comedians I really respect. For me, I would say a joke or a bit or something is special or something which is, it shows a different perspective, a different angle. And you go that aha moment, I'm like, and then you have, it's all, also like a great laugh. For me, that is very funny. I mean, it does not double down on some stereotype which is already there. For me, it's not so exciting. But if it's a different angle, different perspective we never thought of, and then you laugh at that, I think that's probably the biggest difference. For me, even this chicken curry joke, I was not that excited that about the joke itself, but I was just excited about the turning, you know, that the twist. Because in the end, the joke is all about turns, no? I learned the turn and then was not excited about the joke itself, you know? That's why this comedic brain, if you're already establishing something which is already out there, then it's not so exciting. Oh, okay, yeah, the Russians are really cold-blooded. They are harsh. They're this thing. That's fine. Okay, great. Awesome. But give me something like, you know, why are they so warm or like something different? You know, then I would like to listen to that bit. I can tell you the exact initial thought I had. I think for me, this idea of the finding myself was like a bit bizarre. Because but initially this joke was, when I tried it out, was if serial killers, if they're true to themselves, they are, you know, they have found themselves. They are truly serial killers. So they have found themselves, you know, so there's nothing wrong about that. So they're living the life they have, you know, thought of. So that's completely fine. And I did that joke, no laughs, because they thought, you know, this guy is a creep talking about serial killers and finding themselves. Later, I was like, okay, maybe I shouldn't go with serial killers. And then I was just thinking about myself and why this idea of finding yourself might not be a good idea. And then when I made it more personal, then people related to it. It's like, oh, yeah. Because sometimes you don't want to face that you're a piece of shit. And when I found out, because of, you know, yoga and meditation, maybe it's not a good thing to find yourself. So I feel there's a bit of Jerry Seinfeldish thing. Like, have you thought about, you know, anyone like this? A bit of the sandwich, you know, what is that bit? Even Gary Shandling, he used to do that bit, no? I think he had a bit of satire when he asked a few questions like that. So for me, I was a bit obsessed. I didn't know that when I was writing the joke that I will think like that. But when people related, I was like, oh shit, I got something there. So I wrote that down. I used to, before I didn't, I had this idea and then I used to get it to the stage and then try out different ways and then cut it out. Even this, in this recording, I have a lot of fluff words, which I have cut off in the later bits. But I used to throw everything stage. I used to have more lines and then cut them off slowly. For me, the most important part was trying to make sure that they got the joke. I mean, I'm justifying the joke to them. You know, I don't want to half-ass my jokes. I want to make sure that they get it. They get what I'm saying. We're all on the same page. Once I've justified, once I've made sure that, hey, this joke is this. And if they don't like it, that's okay. That's fine. But as long as we are on the same page that it's good or bad, you know, maybe I am not justified, like do justice to the joke. So sometimes I feel few jokes, if you're not so confident, if you're not actually putting your heart to it, you're not doing justice to that joke. So I think it's good to, it's like, I have this feeling that sometimes jokes are like small, like ostrich eggs, you know, in this Jurassic Park, that scene where you have create an environment and you have to make sure that the dinosaur eggs will have the right temperature, you know, give them some steam, make them rub them a bit on the side. You have to make sure that these initial jokes, they are so precious. The ideas, they don't know what to do, they don't know how to walk. So I try to make sure that they get the right environment, push them, give them some fake confidence, you know, and then when they get a bit of laugh, then I know why they're laughing, and then I double down on that and the next time. Sometimes you feel that this egg has potential, this dinosaur can live, but in the end, it's all about laughs. And sometimes how good the laugh is and how often you get laugh for that joke. Few jokes will get laughs every time you try it. Few jokes will get laugh only once out of 8 times. And if you try this egg on different environment and if it's working, so then it's okay. Then it's okay, there is hope. There is, you can do more. And then you start adding tags to it. Then you start doubling down on that aspect. For me, it's all about repetition and having this fake confidence. Okay, there is something there. Let me just give you something. I have so many jokes that every day I think of, why don't they work? Because even the serial killer thing, I thought it was such a nice idea, because the serial killer, when he actually finds himself, then he shouldn't, you know, he has gone through the process of finding himself. Shouldn't he be, you know, I mean, he should be more part of, he's more Eat, Pray, Love than Julia Roberts, right? Shouldn't he be in the same realm of, in the society, in the same level? But somehow we treat him in a different way. That angle for me was like so cool, so exciting. But there's so many jokes like that, which doesn't work. But I just keep it, write it down in my Google Keep, and then someday maybe I'll be able to crack that egg too. I feel sometimes I'm like this social chameleon, you know. I want people to like me. I want that validation. And sometimes I don't know who I am myself. So recently, I think last couple of years, I have more opinions about more things. And then when I started having more opinions, and then I realized with every joke of mine, which has a strong opinion, I know that there's a bit of me there. So there is a bit of me when I'm saying something about finding myself. That means that I don't know exactly who I am myself. But with every joke, I'm trying to find it. And then one day, maybe I'll be able to figure out who I am as a person. And I will be evolving, of course. But I'll be like that sculptor, you know, who'll be like sculpting. Ah, okay, maybe I'm a douchebag. Maybe I'm an asshole. Maybe I'm this. Maybe I'm a good person, but with really bad qualities, you know. For me, the core of this is the idea of finding yourself is kind of, it's not probably the best. Probably, I mean, you need, there's a lot more effort to it. And sometimes you don't need to find yourself. You can just live life without actually finding the meaning. You know, there's more to life rather than, what is the big meaning of, you know, all that. So it's much easier not going into this introspective journey. And it's also okay to do that. And second thing is, for me, the joke is I struggle with this finding myself because of this identifying myself that a piece of shit. Because throughout my life, I have actually loved myself. And this is a true story. I mean, true thing which I have. I'm really like who I am as a person, you know, which is not a great thing always. I have this self-love, but I think you need a bit of self-doubt, self-hate, a little bit to be more reformed in life. You know, I shouldn't be loving so much. It can be a bit borderline narcissistic. Actually, I never think about messages in jokes. So I think about the funny aspect. I feel how funny it is and how true it is to myself. So when I saw that it is true, it is funny, it's more me, then I went more behind it. I doubled down on that. I was not thinking about message at all. Even now, I don't think about messages. I feel in this particular aspect, there was this one angle I really wanted to test because I always see comedians being very self-deprecating. You know, they tend to say, oh, I hate myself. I do this. And they try to find laughter in that. You know, I'm so fat. I'm so thin. I'm so tall. I'm so short. But for me, I find, okay, that's also great. But can I have a comedian who just loves himself, you know, who is not just obsessed with his shortcomings, but also he's actually a great guy. You know, I like that different angle of not being self-deprecating, but a bit self-appreciating about yourself. And for me, that is kind of exciting. So when I saw that, okay, it's not self-deprecating. It is a bit of, you know, you're loving yourself. And there is a bit of balance between self-hate and self-love. And I don't know what the message is, to be honest. For me, it's mostly like, okay, this is funny and I'm going to write it down. I'm going to try it on stage. And somehow they found it funny, so we're all laughing about it. I like jokes where the audience is not expecting what's coming next. You know, so I like it when the punch is like so absurd, so random, sometimes nuanced, but at the same time, they didn't expect that blow to come. For me, that is very exciting. Every punchline, which is not, when comedian is like three steps ahead and the audience is like, oh my God, that's a great punchline. For me, that's like so exciting. I mean, even when I see a comedian who has a punchline I cannot predict, I'm like super obsessed with it. How did you come up with that? I'm like, how did you do that? When this thing happened, I was very excited with the hate myself thing. I mean, we both hate him angle. I can tell you my entire process, how it works. So I'll have the idea. I'll have the idea. Okay, so some thought, some bubble. And then I'll write it down in my notes, keep note, Google Keep. And then, okay, this angle. And then in my room, I'll be roaming around with that idea. This joke. And something funny will pop up, some different angle. And, oh, okay. And then maybe when I say it out loud, I make myself laugh. And then I write it down. And then the same night, I'll be trying it on stage. It'll bomb, I'll change few words, it'll bomb again, and then sometimes all of things to come together and they land. There's this punch and you get that big release. For this hate myself, I mean, we both hate him. I think I had the similar thing. I had the premise that, oh, this guy hates, but I actually love myself. But then I kept changing it a bit. And then when I said, we both hate him, I thought mostly like I'll be adding something more because it was just a simple line. But I didn't expect it to be such a strong punch because they actually like that line itself. Because both of us hate him. It was like I'm separating myself and I'm using him to hate him too. So it's like his self-hate I hate. You know, that angle was quite funny. So I put that in writing in like a couple of words. And one more thing I do is I try to make sure that the number of words for the punchline is very less. I don't like really long setups because I just want to reach to the punchline and try to make sure that, you know, they get the point very quickly. Sometimes I do enjoy talking to the crowd like that because it gives that angle a bit. You know, okay, sometimes we just so obsessed with comedy, with hanging out with comics, we just look at only one particular direction. But when I talk to the crowd, I don't want to dismiss the heckler too easily too. I mean, unless they're taking too much of my attention. But if he's adding something, if I can make that funny without putting him down, I would love to do that. If I can add more jokes there. But I wouldn't want to give so much power to the audience too, to the heckler. I just want to have like a great back and forth relationship with the audience itself. Sometimes it can go a bit more. Sometimes they can take over it. So you have to make sure that you still have the control over the crowd and still get the laughs. I knew that I still had few things under control there on that night. And when he fed that punchline, I was like, oh shit, I should have gotten there early. But it was all like a great magical moment too, because for all of us, we are just feeding off, it's like a bunch of friends, and I'm being the funny guy who's just telling this weird thing about what I feel about myself, and they're all laughing with me. So I don't want to completely antagonize hecklers in the start. So I just want to make sure that we are all having a great time, because even the heckler, he came out to have a good time. But if he gets too much ticks or too much attention, I would say, hey, shut the fuck up now. Sometimes people get excited and they just want to have a great time. And it's not good to completely put them down initially, because they don't know. Sometimes they don't know the rules of stand up, what is okay, what is not okay. And they just want to have a conversation. They would want to say, hey, yell out, maybe this, and it's kind of funny. I'm completely okay with that. I just, as long as they're not being mean or antagonizing the entire crowd, we're all having a good time. We're coming here to have a good time. If someone feels bad, then I would feel, okay, maybe I shouldn't have said something like that. But I'm just more for having a good time with everyone and trying to make sure that the show is fine and my set goes well. And the jokes, they're all working. So that's all I care about. I mean, of course, with more experience, you get a bit more idea of what might be funny. But for me, I'm still like 3 years in or less. I mean, with the pandemic, with experience, few things we get a bit more than the other things, because when you're not experienced, you don't put so much confidence in your jokes. You're a bit shaky. You're not really clear with your words. Sometimes you put longer setups. You don't come to the angle really quick. You don't come to the punchline really quick. So with such things, we can change a bit more because we know how to write a joke a bit better. But at the same time, what makes someone laugh, the audience laugh, it's still, I think, very much like a black box for both the newbies and the people with expertise. Because that's the sad thing, sad and the good thing about comedy. It's such a leveler, you know. It's like no matter how experienced you are, the new joke, you cannot predict whether it's going to work or not. I've seen one more thing, like the first person, you know, like people who do it for the very, very first time, that's the most beautiful thing, you know, because they are completely themselves. They're trying to be funny, and you know, they're just original and they're not copying anything, and they murder, and after that they'll have a very hard time for 10 years.
That was Gagan Gopal with his bit about the troubles of finding oneself. I'm very happy that he was my guest today. We'll listen to recording from autumn 2020 at the Comedy Factory Munich, one of the stand-up shows in Munich in English, which Gagan organizes. The other one would be Medium Rare. Check them out in Munich when they're open again, probably next year. Setup Punchline is an online magazine about stand-up and comedy. You can support us by liking, sharing, or even sending money. In the show notes, you can find information on how to do this. Everything is appreciated. Thank you very much. That's it for this week. Hear you next time. I'm Bernhard Hiergeist, and this is Setup Punchline, a podcast about stand-up comedy.